Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 81 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve. And in this week's news, we're going to discuss the latest movies getting new release dates or getting pushed to streaming services. We've also got some video game news with a hack against Rockstar Games, as well as video game sales setting new records in first quarter of 2020. And then in tech news, we'll give a quick update on Elon's plans to reopen his factories. An update to the Patriot Act was just passed by Senate, which allows the FBI to view your web browsing history, and why ISPs should get rid of all data caps. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome to episode 81 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And Steve, what's going on in your life?
Not much. Same fucking quarantine bullshit as always. You think the light at the end of the tunnel is coming, and then they just extend that tunnel indefinitely every goddamn time. Illinois is famously bumbling this whole situation. I know it's big news around here. I think it's making national news. I mean, Trump's talking about Pritzker. So when you got the president calling out your governor, I'm pretty sure that, everything isn't going as planned. So, yeah. We're hoping theaters open soon and we get phase three?
Yeah, whatever mass gatherings like theaters are. I think that's not deep into the phases.
Mass gatherings. Fucking.
I mean, in the end, it's limited space indoor gatherings. They are part of that later rollout.
Yeah, I know. Last Dance ended last night, so I don't know what the fuck I got to live for now. So.
As always, I'm behind on that,
man,
as well.
As a kid that grew up as a teenager in the 90s in Chicago, like, it just brought back so many great memories, so many just like, yeah, it was so nostalgic and so well done. Like, they're going to win an Oscar for that documentary for sure. Like, nobody, I don't care what war zone you brought a fucking camera to, motherfucker. You ain't beating that Jordan documentary. You ain't doing it. Like, you ain't doing it. Take a seat. Take a seat. 2021's your year.
Yeah, I was up way too late last night actually trying to get caught up on it. So it's definitely a great thing. Yeah, if you're from Chicago, you have to watch it. Even if you weren't from Chicago, the 90s Bulls were
everything. Oh, that's partly what they talk about. David Stern's in it. You know, he filmed his stuff, I guess, before he passed. That's what was crazy, too. It was like David Stern was in it. Kobe has a section, you know. So they got a lot of this filmage before either one of them passed away. And, Stern just talked about how I think basketball was in like 80 countries before the 90s Bulls. And after the 90s Bulls, they were in like 240 countries. You know, just for what he did with globalization of the sport before the days of social media and Twitter and Instagram, and before you had players making fucking TikToks and shit. Like, he just was so good and his presence was so dominant that it shot across the globe. Like, that's, you'll never see that again. It'll never happen.
Yeah. And not to mention, every athlete and influencer nowadays should be thanking Jordan for the groundbreaking work he did with sponsorship deals, because it didn't exist before him.
LeBron doesn't sign for a billy if Jordan doesn't dunk from the free throw line and Spike Lee doesn't make it all about the shoes.
Yeah, so he structured the change of sponsorship deals to be backing a single individual because he had enough power behind him, and then it proved the concept, and then it's off for the races from there. Everybody's got their own shoe
even
deal.
Even if you're not a sports ball fan, you know, a lot of our audience may not be into sports. It was a really good inside look at Jordan as a human. It really kind of lets you in on his mindset, on some of the things that he kept hidden during that time. So, you know, even if you weren't a big basketball fan or a Bulls fan or even sports in general, the documentary is so well done. It is good to learn a little bit more about such an icon.
Yeah, it is great. And people should watch it. It's 10 hours of very well produced and very well structured kind of documentary look back through Jordan's career and the
I love how it was structured to where they there's two storylines going on at once. It's the final 98 season, but every episode takes you through his entire career. So like the first 10 games of the 98 season, they take you through his rookie years and his college years, and they just keep progressing as the season 98 season goes through the episodes. So does Jordan's career. It was so well done, man. So well done.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we could just move into some other entertainment news here, and I'll say one that I'm very excited for is Disney Plus is announced that on July 3rd for the Independence Day holiday week, they are going to begin streaming the Lin-Manuel Miranda Hamilton musical, and I love a good musical. I no shame in it.
Okay, if that's troop out. I mean, I'll watch it just because of all the buzz, and you know, I want to know why everybody enjoys it so much. So I'll end up watching it. But I still think that weekend after being cooped up in my house, I'm not even a fireworks guy. They're illegal in Illinois. But I'm gonna blow some shit up. Like, I'm gonna release some steam. I'm gonna start a fire. I'm gonna blow some shit up, man. Because I think we're all been frustrated in our house. I think it's going to be a crazy neighbor war.
You can't talk about government frustration and blow shit up at the same time without thinking that you're going to be on somebody's watch list after this.
Bad publicity is good publicity for us at this point. If 15 feds knock down my door, that just means we got 15 more listeners this week. I'll take it.
But no,
I'm the anarchist cookbook here, motherfucker. We need listeners.
I'm a big fan of musicals. I like to go to musical theater. My daughter is currently taking voice lessons as part of like youth theater groups. I'm a fan, and Hamilton's one that is, yeah, for whatever reason, I've never seen it. I don't pay hundreds of dollars for tickets, so I'm not gonna go up to LA and see it. But what Lin-Manuel Miranda did is he spent $75 million producing this. It's the first like actual musical on the theater. It's not like Greatest Showman, like they brought a musical, but they made it a movie. They just tried to capture it from a theater perspective to try to bring theater into kind of this streaming capability. It was supposed to be released in the theater. The reason why I bring it up here is just, yes, I love musicals. But two, this is Disney's choice to go straight to Disney Plus with this. We talk about Trolls being a big deal that Universal lost their mind, or the theater associations lost their mind on Universal about. I promise you, Hamilton was going to pull in way more money at the theater in the box office than Trolls was ever going to touch.
For sure.
And it was not supposed to even release until the fall. So now, you know, Disney Plus is releasing it early for 4th of July, going straight to streaming on this major production that was groundbreaking in music theater and they bring it. I'm just waiting, you know, is the same stance going to be seen by National Association of Theater Owners on Disney, or do they just let this one go because the mouse does what the mouse does?
Yeah, there's been huge musicals that have not gone this route, you know, theaters and home streaming. Like, you know, I've been dying to see Wicked. I never got to see Wicked when I was in Chicago. I did get to go see Book of Mormon. Book of Mormon's the only musical I went to, and I was so fucking glad I got to see that live. We are treading through new territory here for sure. Like, the COVID has changed our entire societal landscape. Everyone wants things to get back to normal, and I don't think people understand what that means, because normal is different now. Like, is, like, what you picture in your head is normal no longer exists anymore. So when we talk about going back to normal, like, this might be, like, this could be the new normal. We could be going back to normal with Hamilton's releasing on Disney Plus. I know at least three people I've seen put Facebook posts up on my feed that said that they were going to sign up for Disney Plus just for this. Like,
it would be a good deal, because I mean, truthfully, I probably would have gone and seen it in the theater.
Oh, for sure. I would have had to.
So that's months worth of Disney Plus, if you just factor that as a movie ticket price, date night with the wife to go see this in the theater. So, I mean, it's a great deal. It's good for consumers that it's going straight to Disney Plus. I'm just really curious to see what the fallout's going to be. I haven't seen a single article or a peep from AMC, Regal, or NATO, which were up in arms about Trolls in Universal.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think they might be positioning still, like, this is going to get really weird, you know. But your love for musicals, you're not going to drop a little something for audience, you know. I'm going to get it.
I've never seen that performed a musical. I'll toss it. I'll toss the latest audition tape from my daughter in the back of this thing or something.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe I'll sneak in some musical in there somewhere. But I think it's going to be a great production. I honestly think it's going to be extremely well done. Lin-Manuel Miranda is really kind of breaking ground and bringing, you know, he brought kind of rap into the musicals on this one, and he's really trying to bring it into mass appeal and get it out of.
I mean, I like the guy. He seems like a cool guy. He does a lot of nice things. He's stayed relevant, but he hasn't really put out anything from the producer realm since then. And I'm just waiting for, like, you know, his second musical is just gonna flop. it's just how it's gonna go. Like, I just don't know, man. I got a bad feeling about number two for dude.
I mean, maybe he's
the theater crowd's vicious.
He has done stuff in the background, and he's done stuff in the background. I think he wrote like the songs for like Moana and other Disney productions now, and he's become more of a writer in the background. But yeah, we'll see what he does as far as like actual film and theater going forward. But all right, let's get off of musicals. We'll talk more about it in July after I watch it the day it comes out. But I guess we can just stay on the Disney topic and just give an update to the movie that has had, I think, 8 or 9 delays, The New Mutants. And we get a new Disney release schedule for New Mutants again.
This poor fucking movie, man. This poor fucking movie. It has been finished since like 2017. Like, I know. It's been finished since 2017. Kudos to fucking Disney. How is there not like a bootleg of this thing yet? How have they kept this fucking thing in the vault for fucking 3.5 years without it leaking? Like, I don't understand how people ain't selling discs on the subway of New Mutants yet. I don't get it.
I'm not sure, but yeah, I mean, it was first Comic-Con and or CinemaCon in 2017 was when they first dropped like their first finished trailer. It was supposed to come out, and now it just keeps getting delayed more and more. And it's
like I want to go see it
because for August 28th.
I'm wondering like what's in the movie that would date it. You know what I mean? Like if they're in there because all the New Mutants met on MySpace or something. You know, like all the Coke cans are like the old logos. All the you're like, damn, like, couldn't reshoot those. Disney spends $10 million redoing brand logos to bring it up to current status.
Well, I just don't get, like, I guess, sure, keep this on a theatrical release. Like, are people still, do you still project Disney that you're going to make any money on this? Not to mention, this was before the purchase of Fox. This is an old Fox property. You didn't even pay to make this movie. Just dump it on Disney Plus and call it a day.
Like, give me something to write a review on. God damn it. Like, give me something. Like,
I mean, I don't, you know, maybe this movie makes,
but it is like, it's like, I don't know if people Marvel are going to see it. Horror movie. They want people in the dark room with loud, like, I get it.
And that's true, I guess, because of the horror genre, it won't go to Disney Plus. They won't put this on Disney Plus.
They would have to drop it on
Hulu.
They don't
put anything that's not family friendly there. Yeah, so maybe
it's got one of my favorite X-Men characters of all time in it. You know, Ileana's Colossus's sister. She ends up ruling hell for a long time, and she's a major character in comic books. Actually, if you like, for those that can't see, my brother can though. She's right there on my goddamn comic book shelf. So I was excited they were bringing her into this. You know, but it's like, now can you even bring her into the MCU? Because she was, by the time they bring her into like a current Marvel movie, she's like 8 years older. Like, the actress is going to be a grown ass woman. Like, and you're supposed to have this teenager.
And that's what's so weird about them kicking this one down the line so long is just
this isn't an MCU property. So none of this falls into the MCU.
Now
so
that Disney owns it, legacy. If they release it, it falls in the MCU.
So I thought they announced that this was still a Fox property.
It is a Fox property.
And it just happens
they own
to be
it.
Drug
and if
out.
If they release it, like, sorry, it counts.
I don't know. I mean, Dark Phoenix was released technically after Disney owned it too, and they're going to fucking pretend that that never happened either.
Well, that was okay, like in the really small gray window area. But like you said, they're holding on to this, so it seems like they must have some plans for it. Like, you drop it, she's canon. Sorry about it.
Maybe. I don't know what they're doing with it.
Fight
but...
them.
Yeah, so we've got that movie announced that it's a delay and some other Ron's Gone Wrong movie. I don't know
what the fuck
anything
that
about
is.
That. I don't know what that is, but that's got a new release date too, if you're curious. It's an animated movie from Disney. I haven't heard anything about it, but that got pushed back to April 2021.
Man, we're getting really close to Tenet release date, and these motherfuckers need to figure something the fuck out.
And the hype and buzz around Tenet is huge, and it's like it is the movie that either needs to bring people back to the theaters, or that movie's going to get screwed terribly.
I will drop a
like,
Benji
it is it.
Sit in a theater by my fucking self. All right, like, here's a hundo. Give me 2 hours of that fucking room right there. I need to watch this fucking movie.
Yeah, I don't remember what the release date is.
I'm just like open the theaters. I'll walk in like the fucking Karate Kid on Halloween with the shower curtain all around me. Like, I swear to fucking God,
just go I'll just go straight bubble boy
into the fucking theater from here on out. Just give me some fucking movies, man.
Yeah. So July 17th is the Tenet release date. Hasn't been pushed back yet, but man, You know, we've already got places like LA County here in California has announced that they're extending it into July already. They've already extended their stay-at-home orders. So you're already going to lose a large portion of California, if
I'm
not
gonna
all
tell you,
California.
I'm going to tell you right
extended
now,
to July.
Illinois keeps fucking up. Tenet releases. I will drive to the nearest theater in Indiana. And
I was going to say, you drive to Indiana?
Man, yup. Like, for sure. I will take that hour and a half drive straight to fucking some shit ass theater in Gary and I will see Tenet. I don't give no fucks. Activate my A-list, motherfuckers. I'm back.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you might have to pay for some small locally owned theater though, because I don't know if AMC and stuff are still opening. That even the states that have opened up, AMC has still said that they are keeping their doors closed for now.
That's fucked up.
So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, Tenet's the big test of the industry movie.
And then
up.
I bought a hard copy of Dune, a hardcover of Dune, to try to read that before the movie comes out. And honestly, I did not realize how big that book was. They may have to push that back just to give me time to read that book, even if I start now. Even if I start right now. Like, yeah, I might need another month, guys.
Well, COVID might save you on that one.
I don't know. It's fucking big, man. Came in the box. I was like, oh shit. Like, this ain't Ben Heavens. Holy fuck.
Yeah. Well, I'm a bit different than you. I put it on my wait list for an audiobook at the local library.
180 hours so easy. Also be- 180 hours easy.
No. The Brandon Sanderson books come out to be like 40 hour audiobooks, and nothing. Brandon Sanderson books are dense. I don't think this has beaten Way of Kings and stuff.
Brandon Sanderson's books and have listened to them on audio. I'm telling you right now, this book is half the font size and triple as thick. Okay.
All right. I'm in for the long haul. Good thing I listen at 2x speed.
Yeah. I don't know how you fucking do that.
It's painful for me to even have this conversation with you in real time.
I mean, you gotta.
I'm so used to listening things.
You gotta get to the point where everybody sounds like some fucking super slow mo speak because you listen to them fucking Micro Machine Man everywhere you go.
No, yeah, I'm on podcasts and audiobooks and on 1.5-2x speed 90% of my day. So then real conversations just drag on. So let's drag this thing forward to some video game talk, I guess, and. We've got two stories, so really three stories here in the video game world. First, we could just talk about Rockstar Games went down over the weekend due to a pretty massive DDoS attack that took down GTA 5 as well as Red Dead Redemption online services.
Well, I mean,
it sucks to be those guys. This is good. What's going to happen?
Kind of seems like it goes with that crowd. I mean, if you're yeah. into beating hookers and shooting horses, I guess you're the asshole that would do this.
You're pulling out all like the whatever. When did Grand Theft Auto initially come out? That was like late 90s, right? Early 2000s? I don't know. You're pulling out like the deep cuts of anti-video game sentiment.
What, did they stop beating hookers in this game? Did I not get the fucking the memo? Because I'm pretty sure there's plenty of YouTube videos with dudes just grabbing women out of cars and beating them in the streets.
Fair. it's still a thing. I'm sure there's plenty of law-abiding citizens in Grand Theft Auto 5 that are upset with
it's
you right like, now.
It's the inception of Westworld. That's what GTA is. It's the first inception of Westworld. The more virtual reality and robots get dumb, Rockstar is going to be the company that initiates that
that pulls out all the deviant behavior.
But yeah, I mean, assholes gonna be assholes. Like I'm surprised that the Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, I'm surprised they haven't been going down more often than now, just because people know how many people are playing video games. And if you're that sadistic piece of shit that loves to ruin everybody's fucking Christmas morning with DDoS attacks, how are you not trying to shut that shit down now? Like,
yeah.
It never fails. Like the day after Christmas or Christmas Day, some asshat attacks the fucking Xbox Live because they want to ruin that 9-year-old's fucking Christmas so that when he plugs in his fucking Xbox, he can't play shit. Never, every year, it's fucking annual.
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, one game industry. We got another article for the staying in the video game topics here, and that's that this first quarter of video game sales had a record-setting almost $11 billion in video game sales, which is a 10% or a little over 9% increase of compared to the same quarter last year of 2019. Any surprise there?
Nope. And water is wet.
Like, people stuck at home for a full, you know, fiscal quarter for these video game industries. I'm sure every studio head was just chomping at the bit to roll out whatever deals and sales and sell as much as possible.
So I have that Cash App, and the minute COVID happened, Cash App has like a boost. So you put a boost on your debit card, and if you use your debit card at like a grocery store, you get a certain amount of money off. And, you know, whatever the boost is for, if you use your debit card there, you get like 10% off. And the minute the fucking quarantine happened, all of a sudden there was a 10% off PlayStation and a 10% off Xbox boosts on there.
Like, yeah, network,
like,
yeah.
Like instantly, you know, it was a thing. People, and I laugh because I'm on my Facebook feed, like just yesterday, someone was just like, holy shit, I just played 6 hours straight of Zelda 2. And it's like, damn. Like, people going through their catalogs of games and just playing all kinds of obscure things. Like, COVID's giving you that time to finally beat that game that made you break your controller when you were 12. If I could find a good working copy of Jaws for the regular Nintendo, I might lock myself in a room for 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, don't you have the Nintendo emulators and Jaws stuff that's not on there?
It's not an emulator. I just bought the minis, you know, so it's got the 30 games it kind of came with. But I do have a Switch, and I wonder if it's a downloadable game. It would be nice. That Jaws game was like the bane of... Jaws and Top Gun are like my top bucket list games from when I was a kid.
You got to land it on the carrier,
motherfucker. First level, easy. Just slides right on top of that ship. Everything else, man. Nah, fuck your face. I'm flying right into that thing.
But yeah, I mean, so we see. I think this was no surprise. Major video game quarter. I still want to see, you know, the numbers on. Yeah, you know, I started. I gave a couple trial games to the free, you know, Call of Duty Warzone.
I played that last night.
Bored a little bit. No, I played a little bit of it. I used to love Call of Duty games. I like first person shooters, so I wanted to give it a try. I'm just curious how much money like that free games making cross-platform, you know, it's similar like the Fortnite. You know, I wonder if those stats show up in these video game sales stats or whatever else here, because really all they're selling is accessories and unlockables and whatever else.
You know, but it's still, it goes to their bottom line. So if the company's stock's going up or if they're reporting profits, microtransactions are in that too.
Yeah, so it's that game is getting quite huge, and I'm sure they're making a ton of money on it in whatever microtransactions they're selling there. But and then I guess the next and last video game topic here is that the Epic CEO has made a statement that he believes the PlayStation 5 is going to drive all of future PC innovation, that he believes he is incredibly impressed with that machine from the developer standpoint, and believes that it is the future.
I take this with a grain of salt. not just because I'm an Xbox fan, but like, even if somebody came out and said Xbox was the future, it's like these are companies with a lot to gain from what, fake news, you know, like they, I don't know if this Epic CEO's pockets got a little bit fatter before he said this. I don't know if he got a backdoor handshake deal for an exclusivity deal with PlayStation, you know, that they're going to announce in 6 months. Like I'm very skeptical when people, you know, developers give their opinions about this. Like if it came from like an independent party like CNET or anything like that, you kind of take it with more weight. But you people are reliant on these systems buying your fucking games and releasing your games. So you have a little bit of a profit motive by stroking the members of these two developing systems.
Yeah. And I always wonder, you know, the Epic and their, he's specifically talking about how well the new version of the Unreal Engine's running on the specs from Sony's PlayStation 5, and the specs are pretty much the same as far as overall performance power and SSD power. So it's curious that the CEO of Epic is highlighting one of the two that he runs his Unreal Engine on. Like you still need Xbox. Like this is, it's not like you're doing exclusives with your Unreal Engine on PlayStation 5. So to come out and say that that it's PlayStation 5 that is furthering all of, you know, PC innovation and that the Unreal Engine is going to be so much better through PlayStation 5 is kind of a weird choice. The article just says that it's Sweeney, the CEO, never said anything bad about Xbox or that even PlayStation 5 was better, but he just highlighted Sony, saying that the relationship between Sony and Epic is better. So don't know what that means, but it's just a weird choice. I was more surprised by the fact that they focus, a company that is not exclusive to Sony, focused on just promoting that one console.
And I swear, we're at the point now in video games and TVs and things like that that, you know, the differences between the two, can they even be seen by the human fucking eye? You know, if you got to wear glasses at night, you can't fucking tell. You tell me which one's fucking better. You know, side by side fucking TVs. You can't even fucking read the words on the screen anymore. And you're fucking sitting here, you know, I just don't know. I mean, there's always going to be a battle. It's always going to be a battle for the end of time between these two systems. And it's always been kind of fun, you know, but really, what are we talking about here? You know, like,
yeah, I don't know. I'm sure that there's going to be a huge leap in these next consoles, in just overall like smoothness of,
well, it's like two people the same height saying I'm taller than you because I spike my hair. Like you're fucking, you're same. It's same, guys. Same. just give it up. Like, it's all good. It's fucking, you're both killing it. It's all good, man.
But, you know, that takes us through really all of our entertainment and video game talk. And we'll see here in the future. I'm curious on when they're going to start releasing all of the video game exclusives and stuff like that. We're probably another, I don't know, 2-3 months from now before we'll start really seeing the Xbox and PlayStation competition for those initial release day sales. But right now I think that's it for entertainment. Yeah,
let's get to this tech. I got the follow-up for the neighbor story still.
Oh, that's right. Oh, geez. All right. Let's speed through some of this.
You got to hear this. I specifically did not tell you waiting for this show so we could do it live.
That's right. All right. So first up, just a quick follow-up from last week. We talked about Elon just going on his Twitter rants last week, threatening California, threatening to move out, all of his issues. And then I think it was the day after we recorded, Elon just said, fuck it, and just started opening up his factories, challenged the Alameda counties and California counties to, hey, if you're going to arrest somebody, arrest me, but my employees are going to work. And opened up his factories. And in the end, the states caved and said, okay, you could be essential. I always wonder, like, what are his employees saying at that point in time? Like, are they like, yeah, thank you for letting me come back to work?
Thanks,
or they're like,
dick.
I was good with unemployment. thanks for canceling that for me.
Well, you have a big situation right now going on where people are making as much or more on unemployment.
I know.
And you can't get a lot of these businesses to open back up because they're calling their employees and their employees are like, no, we're not coming back. And these businesses can't get the PPP expunged if they don't use that money for payroll, and you can't cut payroll checks if your fucking people won't come back to work. So yeah. this is a weird situation
when we incentivize people to actually not return to work.
What I'm afraid of this is that this is going to fly in the face of what I believe is good for the country and UBI. You know, we've had that talk about, you know, UBI doesn't incentivize people to be productive members of society and this and that, but at no point was UBI $1,000 a week, you know, $1,500 a week. UBI was $1,000 a month, you know, like, yeah. So, but I think that this is going to be used as a negative when UBI actually finally kind of gets proposed and some of the science comes in. So it's a little disheartening to see for me.
Yeah. And you know, with this one, specifically the Elon factory, it's interesting choices, but he opened up this factory. He's opened up other ones in other states. So there's some semblance, and it was deemed as essential business now, so he can now legally keep it open. And he's moving forward with what appears to be getting the hell out of California. He just purchased a big plot of land in Texas that is estimated to be the future home of at least what he's calling a Terra factory.
So he's got giga plants and Terra factories.
Right. and potentially home to his new headquarters as he threatened to move to Texas to get out of California. So maybe that plot of land turns into a factory as well as a new headquarters building.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it last week. It's within his rights. And, you know, if certain states are more friendly to his business, you can't really blame these people.
No. And then we've got on within, I guess, tech news, we can move forward to what's going to be the more challenging topics to talk about. First one is this last week, we've got the Senate voted to allow the FBI to view, store your web browser history without any warrant. So this was an extension of the Patriot Act. As the Patriot Act is getting renewed, which I still don't know how the hell that continues to get renewed.
How does
it, like, this, it's one of the worst pieces of legislation that's ever existed that is not proven to do anything other than
Patriot Act's got like an 8% approval rating. Like,
yeah. But senators are voting to extend it. And then a part of it, there was an amendment put in by Mitch McConnell, which was to add in, the ability for the FBI to view web browser histories and store and collect web browser histories for later use by government agencies. And it was put in as an amendment, and it passed by one vote. So it got included in by one vote. And several senators just didn't do their job, in the sense that there were several senators that would have opposed it, like Bernie Sanders and others, that didn't show up to vote. So only 60 senators voted at all, and it passed by one vote. So you got to be pissed. Like, you care about these things?
And that's the thing.
Clearly, there's people in our government that don't.
What the fuck is Bernie doing? Like, you're the man of the people, and you just sit this one out? You're not even running for fucking president anymore. You just sit this one the fuck out? Like, it just shows people's real motives and real, you know, just, fuck, man. This is so horrible.
Well, and it shows, it shows people's motives, and it shows also priority of the people who sit in government currently. We have very few people in government who are like laser focused on these issues and talk about privacy and digital privacy and these new tech-centered problems of the future. We have very few people who prioritize this. So for them to miss a vote on this isn't a big deal. They don't care. They don't get elected on these things. People don't turn out to vote for them because of this. They turn out to vote for social issues and stuff. So if this was a vote on any level of social issue, social reform, they're there. They're not missing
some
a vote.
Democrats should
but the fact that it's some, digital privacy.
Some Democrats should have just thrown some pork on here and set and put like Senate allows FBI to look at trans web browsing history, and we just shot that shit down in a heartbeat. You had every fucking lefty out there voting no on that in a heartbeat. You know.
And it's, you know, but that's what drives voters. The social issues drive voters for the most part. And it's not these kind of things. So you can see large portions of Senate just not checking in for that day. Like, whatever, they can go take a longer lunch because all we're voting on is digital privacy. Who gives a fuck? And it's more people
it's
like who are
a digital
tech-centered,
world.
More people who are laser-focused and concerned on these things should be running for office. But for the most part, the people who run for office are people who believe that it's government's oversight and control that is in the best interest. Right? The people who naturally have a natural tendency to run for office believe that the offices themselves are the solution, which is why government overreach is easily voted in. And this is an example
of it
here.
That's what makes me mad.
It makes me mad. Not only that it happened, not only that we're still talking about the Patriot Act, not only that we just snuck in some, because I guess, you know, the Patriot Act back in 2001 couldn't foresee the benefit of snooping into people's browser history that we added in 2020. But what pisses me off most is that it passes by one vote.
Because people just didn't show up.
Solely because some people just didn't show up.
And we don't need the two-thirds majority anymore. There's no, the filibuster's gone. So even somebody that showed up to vote couldn't have delayed it. And like, government's broken. It's just so fucking broken.
and there were some senators that were fighting actively against it and trying to speak out against this vote and speak out against the Patriot Act altogether, like Senator Wyden from Oregon. But there's just not enough. There's not enough senators that are attempting to do it. And here we go. It's now a part of law.
And I'm so looking forward to November coming so I can vote for a man in his fucking 80s. Either one. this is the problem, man. You can't expect Sleepy Joe or Agent Orange to give a shit about any of this stuff. They're just way past the generations that need to care about this. They don't even type the stuff into Google themselves. They have some intern do it, you know? So like, what the fuck do they care?
Well, yeah, they don't actually probably even know what a browser history is or how to check it. All they know is that it provides safety.
Yeah.
So this is how you prevent terrorists is by knowing what recipes they looked up. But either way, we can I guess move on from this. But this is something just for the nerds out there to pay attention to, as we should care about our browser history. We should care. It's hey, that's fine. If you got a warrant, come get my browser history. If you've got probable cause and a warrant, come get it.
I wonder if like in the 50s the FBI was like tracking what books you checked out at the library. Essentially that's what it is, like, you know what I mean? It's the modern day version of like, we need all the cards. we need all the cards.
there's some conspiracy theory out there about how the Dewey Decimal System was put in place for government tracking.
Dewey was a communist.
Dude, he was a book burner. He wanted a strong catalog to fucking find the books to burn.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right. moving on. More in some tech articles and tech news. We just wanted to highlight an article. It was an opinion piece coming out of Digital Trends that talked about how ISP caps are pretty much been exposed over the last 2 months. They are a scam and they should not exist. Why are there ISP caps? They waived ISP caps during COVID for everybody to homeschool and whatever else and not run into issues and additional streaming, and it's caused zero effect on the network. there is no measurable decrease in quality and speed and anything else by opening up data caps or eliminating data caps.
There's still a lot of pork nonsense in the data world. I mean, I still look at my cell phone bill. I have 28,000 anytime family minutes saved up. I don't know what situation I would need them. Everybody's got unlimited. I don't know how I'm still racking up these fucking family anytime minutes. But every month I get a notice. It's like, hey, just so you know, 58,000 family time minutes if you ever need them. Thanks, asshole.
Yeah, it's an interesting issue, and the article talks about how the cell phone industry had minute caps, but that was when the network sucked and they could only handle so much. Well, nowadays everybody has unlimited because the network can handle whatever we throw at it. And the cell phone network, it's just like most data plans and cell phones are now unlimited because you can handle it. But for some reason, your hardwired ISP broadband provider to your residence has data caps because they can't handle you downloading more than 500 gigs of whatever throughout
the
month.
This just reminds me of back in the day when the technology first came out. Y'all TikTokers don't know nothing about only having 100 text messages a month. Y'all motherfuckers to die. Y'all motherfuckers to die. You can't send that last emoji. You got to save that one.
Yeah. You use 140 characters. You don't send one word responses. Yeah,
no, you tell story in that text because you got
to
get it
out. I think I was one of the last people ever to go unlimited text messages. I used to never text whatever else, and I just had some shitty ass friends who would just text me nothing but 20 cents because they knew every text message just cost me 20 cents.
That's great.
I would just receive random text. I would just receive random text messages that had nothing but $.20.
I'd send pictures of dimes and quarters all day.
It worked though, because after about 3 weeks of that, I went and got myself an unlimited text message.
Oh God!
I held out way too long for that.
That is great. All right, I think we got to scrap this last story for time, and we'll cover it next week because it's not time sensitive. We got a Forbes story for you guys next week. We'll leave that in our tech. But I have to get this out. You have to know. Yeah. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, I had mentioned that there's a neighbor war stemming from Halloween decorations about three blocks from my house. But it's where I have to exit my subdivision, so I see it every week. And this guy's got two skeletons that he put up as part of his huge Halloween display. Something went down because he had to tear down his Halloween display before the end of Halloween, but he left the two skeletons with this drum, and since then he's been decorating them for every holiday. And I'm talking the little ones, he had the Cinco de Mayo outfit that threw me for a loop, man, because it was great. So I mentioned it on the show, and I said I was going to get the story. So it was a really nice day the other day. I was driving, and I seen the dude with his garage door open, walking up and down his driveway. And I was like, it's my time. It's my time. So I pull up. I start talking to the dude. Really nice guy. He's got the sign on there that says, "I'm here all year, neighbor." So we had just always assumed that it was the guy next door. I love this because it ties in multiple segments. So this story really is an extension of "you might be a Karen," because it turns out that it's not just a Karen. It is the final boss Karen after you fight the seven Karens before her and you get to the final Karen. This is Megazord Karen, when five Karens meet at Starbucks and can join together and become the Mega Karen. This is when Karen finally learns her Zanpakuto's name, which is Susan, by the way, for our anime fans. this is insane. So he's like, "I've been doing this Halloween setup for 15 years. He's like, "I've lived here 15 years. A year and a half ago, some Karen moved into their subdivision. It's a little section of a neighborhood, so everybody kind of in that section knows each other. Some Karen moved into that section a year and a half ago, and ever since then, she walks her dog every day and takes pictures with her cell phone to send to the village of people violating village codes. You leave your recycling bin out too long, she takes a picture, sends it to the village, village comes and gives you a ticket. There's no homeowners association in our town. So she's trying to play president of the homeowners association with no HOA and is literally, oh, you're, the back end of your car is blocking the sidewalk, picture, sends it to the police station. So all the neighbors like hate this woman. Like everybody knows who she is back there, I guess. Like everybody hates her. So when he was setting up his big Halloween maze, she walked through the maze, took pictures, videotaped herself walking through the maze on his property, sent it to the village of Bolingbrook and the state of Illinois for like building code violations and stuff. So they made the dude take it down, you know, and like the village is like, look, man, we have to, like, the state police are on our shit about you tearing this down now. And he, like, he got all up in arms about it. So he's like taking a stand and he's just leaving it out there. I guess he dresses up the one skeleton like her. Like as I got closer, I kind of noticed as I'm getting the story, I kind of noticed she's got like a blonde wig and is carrying like a little dog. and his neighbors leave him like cases of beer on his porch, thank you notes. Like this is getting like way more in depth than I the story the dude gave me, I was not ready for at all. Like at all. And like, I guess the cops are now harassing him about like, can't you just take it down? He's like, no, I'm not taking it down. So like, instead of the cops telling this lady, look, lady, why don't you just fucking mind your business, leave people alone, they're like on the thing like, well, if she calls, we have to do something. Can't you just stop doing this so we stop getting calls from her? Like they like, she is the biggest snitch you've ever seen in your entire life.
But if you're those cops, you recognize that your only reasonable option is to not go at the Karen.
No.
Like, at that point in time, you try to tell Karen to back the hell down, you're now, your chief of police is getting an email with your badge number.
So my point is, at what point do the cops not back down? Because they are creating, like, a powder keg in that subdivision. Because I'm telling you right now, I live back there, one day that dog disappears. I promise you. I fucking promise you. Oh, you walk your dog every goddamn day and report everybody? I'm going to give you a reason not to leave your house. Like that. Sorry about it. I lost dog signs all over the fucking town the next week. I promise you. Like, I give no fucks. Like, I just can't. Like, in the amount of tickets and the amount of neighbors that she has done this to, like, it's not just him. Like, literally walks the entire subdivision taking cell phone pictures of any measly violation. She's cost that subdivision, I guess, thousands of dollars in fines over the last year and a half. So this dude's just like, don't give a fuck, man. I'm not breaking any laws. He's learned more about village ordinances than he's ever wanted to his entire life. They keep trying to come at him like, well, you don't have the proper lighting out here for the skeletons. Nope, it's outdoor rated, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you don't have the right extension cords. Nope, they're outdoor rated, blah, blah, blah. Like, they keep coming on his property trying to... He put cameras up now because he, you know, if she walks... Because she walked on his property to go through the maze. So now he's got cameras because if she ends up taking one step on his property, he's gonna press charges on her. Like, oh my god, couple months I'm getting an update, because like this is not ending anytime soon, and I'm all for it. Like, this is reality show theater for me.
Yeah, that's too much. But yeah, it sounds like you might be a Karen if...
You might be a Karen if you walk your...
You issue village citations.
On your fucking spare time while you walk your dog. Like, to me, this is just like the most evil shit anybody could do. You're supposed to like be neighborly, and I understand, you know, like you might have a problem with your neighbor. You're supposed to try to work it out civilly. Like, nah, this bitch came out the gate with cell phone pictures and it was just reporting fools.
Yeah. Like, it's a bit over the top.
Man.
Sure, but
Ultra Karen plus Ultra Karen. Like, all week, that's all I've been thinking about is like, man, you know, like the Final Boss Karen references. I was gonna create a list, I forgot, but those were the ones I had off the top of my head. You know, it's Karen when she gets all the Dragon Balls. Oh god. Oh man. Yeah, that's it for me, guys. I will find out if anything happens, because the day those decorations come down, I'm knocking on that door again. Like, hey, man.
Oh yeah.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure they come down eventually, and it's not going to be by choice.
But when I was like, it's not your neighbor in there, he's like, no, it's some lady that just walks her dog reporting the entire neighborhood. I was like, it's a fucking Karen. it was like the week right after that episode released. I was like, holy shit, it's a fucking Karen. Oh, man.
All right, well, I think that's a week in the news. And so I guess all that's left to say, thanks for listening to episode 81 here. You can find some of these articles that we talked about over at thenerdcantina.com/show81. We'll just ask you to join over at the group and join in some conversations. Take a look at Steve's pics of this neighbor's yard and learn more about the backstory, as he'll be sharing it within the group over at thenerdcantina.com/community, or just search us out over at Facebook at The Nerd Cantina.
Yeah, we hit over 600 members this week.
Yeah, so it's a good lively group of 600 nerds talking about things that's important to us. Join in the conversation. All right, with all that said, thanks again, and talk to you again next week.
See ya.